Today is July 31st, and it's around 11:30 in the morning. And I'm here with Lauren McPike, who's going to give us her pandemic story. Lauren, you live here in Plainfield?
I do, yes. Interestingly, I've lived in Plainfield for a couple of years. I moved in 2018, and I was living in an apartment during most of the pandemic, but I also, and I never thought this would happen, but I bought a house during the pandemic, and so we spent a lot of time moving into said house. We are now finally in the house, but it took us a while. Everything was very slow going in the process because we were still trying to figure out how to safely do everything, how to safely see the house, how to do the closing safely within standards so none of us got sick. And we had to make sure that the moving company was able to safely move our stuff without them possibly being exposed to an infection and or possibly exposing us to an infection. So it was very interesting, this process.
Yeah. Did you use a moving company?
I did, yes. I used two men in a truck. I'd used them every time that I've had to move for probably the last 10 years, and I've always been very satisfied with them. And they had very specific things, like very specific questions to answer. Like, they had to make sure my partner, Mike Paxton, and I both, that we had not been diagnosed with COVID-19, that we had not been experiencing symptoms.
Did you have to take a test?
We didn't have to take the actual test. I will tell you later about how I did have to take a COVID-19 test. I got tested for it, but they did not require us to take a test before they would work with us. So they kind of had to go by word of honor with us. We were fortunate in that neither of us were sick, so we didn't have to reschedule, and we were certainly not going to lie about it. But they did require us to wear masks the entire time the movers were there. And the movers also, they were supposed to wear masks, but the day that they were moving us was probably the hottest day on record, and it was also extremely humid. And with them having to move so much furniture, like, they just flat out could not have a mask on without probably soaking it in sweat and then them not being able to breathe. So I had to remain as distant from them as possible because of that.
So were there any other issues with moving that, you know, related to the pandemic?
So we have wonderful neighbors. The people on either side of us, the families are incredibly friendly and they've been very welcoming to us, but we have not been able to really get to know them because we've had to be so, you know, so careful about distancing. We were invited to one of our next door neighbors' daughter was having a birthday, and we were invited to come over and meet everyone, but we opted to wear masks because these people are in their own little pod, and they're used to each other, but they were not used to our germs, and we weren't used to their germs, so we wanted to try to be as respectful and as possible as far as not spreading anything, so we opted to wear masks over to the party. But it was nice to be invited, and the party was outside. Like, everybody had to be outside. There was no indoor activity at all.
When you first heard about COVID-19, what were your thoughts? What did you, and has that changed since then?
Well, my first thoughts about COVID-19 when I first heard about it, it was still only over in the Wuhan area of China. And I know that there were some health experts saying, hey, if this makes it here, this is going to be pretty rough. But I also, in recent years, remember, you know, the Ebola virus and the Zika virus. And so I thought, okay, is this going to be, I was kind of like, I hope that maybe this can be controlled kind of the way. I know a lot of people have suffered from Ebola and Zika, so I'm not trying to downplay their suffering. But it didn't really make it that far into the U.S., and it wasn't nearly the pandemic that we had worried about. So I was kind of hoping that that would be the case with this. Clearly, it has not. It has taken over. So my thoughts really have changed in that I have been really wanting to read about the 1918 flu epidemic. That's something that's also really been on my mind lately, just how people survived then, learning about the history and people's thoughts at that time. I mean, there were people back then who, you know, were really reticent to wear masks, kind of like we have today. So things really haven't changed that much in regards to that. but just hearing about all the volunteers and people who barely even knew how to drive volunteered to be ambulance drivers because they had to do something, and that was the one thing that they could do. So they're like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll be an ambulance driver, and I will take people anywhere they need to go. I'll go into whatever area is needed. I don't care about my health that much. I want to make sure that these people get to the care that they need. And that was really inspiring for me, going back to the past to see, okay, where have we been? And then I want to know what happened once things were under control. Like, where did we go? And really, the 1918 epidemic, it didn't end until about 1920. And then 1920 was just this giant free-for-all of, you know, flappers and...
I wonder if that's why the 20s were the gay 20s, because of the
I don't know. I don't know. I've wondered, but I've not found any...
I mean, the roaring 20s, not the gay 20s.
Yeah,
it's
okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I haven't found anyone who has made that connection, but that doesn't mean it's not out there.
That would definitely make sense.
Yeah.
Because if it's anything like it... is today, you know, mm-hmm. Once this is over, people are gonna...
Yeah, we're gonna want to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what issues have most concerned you about the pandemic?
So the issues that have most concerned me are the fact that there are people who refuse to wear masks, and also people are so impatient and eager to get everything back to the way it was before the pandemic that we're going too fast, and now more and more people are getting sick. And it seemed like areas had the virus under control, and now all of a sudden we're seeing more outbreaks. Even outside of the country, we are seeing outbreaks in places that they thought they had it under control, because apparently they reopened too soon. And that worries me. It's gonna be a long time before we can scientifically get to herd immunity. And I know a lot of people are very concerned about the vaccines because they don't know what the side effects are, but you know, I still think it's something that we really need to push. I have two very young nephews, and the idea of one of them getting so sick with this, I know that they say that children can bounce back very easily from it, and they don't all bounce back. And the idea that something could seriously happen to one of them and they could have lifelong side effects, even if they survive it, they could have permanently damaged lungs from it, and that really, really concerns me.
Are they school age yet?
One of them is.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to be going back to school?
I think so. His doctor did clear him, because he, much like his auntie here in this interview, he suffers terribly from allergies, and his doctor wanted to examine him, test him, and whatnot to see if she thought that his immunity could handle him going back to school. So far the answer is yes, but my sister is kind of like, okay, but if there is anything, I am pulling him out and he's doing e-learning.
Right. Yeah. Okay, has the pandemic affected your job?
In a sense, yes. I was very fortunate to work for the Plainfield-Guilford Township Public Library, and our director, Monty Manning, was wonderful about making sure that everyone was, you know, still on the payroll and that we could be safely in our homes and not have to worry about our employment. But there were still things that I had to do, if at all possible, from home, and there were plenty of webinars that I needed to be involved in so that I would know what was happening and what to expect. So I did have to learn how to work from home, and I really kind of struggled with it for the first week or so. And then finally, I was still living in the apartment. We hadn't moved into the house yet. I took the walk-in closet that I had, and I turned that into an office. Mm-hmm. I got a little folding table, and I didn't even have an office chair. I just had a footstool that I sat on and my work laptop. And then I decided to make it pretty. I had a little vase of flowers, picture of my nephew from the day he was born, and a coaster where I could have my mug of coffee. And I did all my webinars, all the Zoom chats. I run a program called Books on Tap, and we would normally meet at Brewburger in Plainfield to discuss books, and we couldn't do that, so we did it over Zoom, And I had to run that out of my closet, which the people who attended were highly amused by by the fact that they could see hangers right by my right side. So I did have to learn that. And also one thing that I noticed is I really like routine. And prior to the pandemic, I had set up a routine that I was very comfortable with, very satisfied with, you know, get up, go into work. Afterwards, I went to a gym and I took some classes there, and then I would come home and shower, and I would have dinner, and then I would, you know, either watch some TV or read or play a game or something. But I had my routine, and I really, really liked it, and this wiped it out completely. So I had to create a 14-point to-do list just to get through the day, because, like, I need my routine. And one of the things I had to do was, you know, get up. And I had to take a shower. And, I had something where it's like I have to mark that I ate breakfast and lunch and dinner, and that I read for an hour, and that I worked out for an hour. And I had all these tasks, daily tasks for my job of, like, you need to make sure that you check your email. You need to make sure that you're looking. I purchase fiction here for the library, and it was like every day I had to make sure that I checked our vendor's website to see if they'd sent me any collection lists to look through, or if maybe I had to send something off to be ordered, something like that. So I had to, the way I worked was affected. My actual job status was not. So I was very fortunate for that. But yeah, working from home was not nearly the picnic I thought it would be for me. I know a lot of people actually really ended up enjoying it.
What was your struggle when you said you struggled the first week? What was the struggle? Distraction?
Well, there was some distraction. I was very anxious. I suffer from anxiety. So there was that going on. The total lack of structure, and half of my job, I catalog books here at the library, so half of my job has to be done in the building. Mm-hmm. Half of it was gone. Mm-hmm. And so I felt a little, like, directionless, and, like, I was struggling to figure out what my purpose was. So
that was a hard time, because there was really nothing, you know, nobody really knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was very directionless, yeah, mm-hmm. And anxiety-inducing.
Yes.
I'm not a super anxious person myself, but I was anxious.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, our director did such a great job checking in with all of us, mm-hmm. being, being very, like, hands-on and making sure we were okay, and then also suggested to all of us that we talk to all of our employees and check in with them, make sure they're okay. And I'm not a huge phone talker unless I'm talking to my mom, so I communicated via text with the one person that I directly supervised, which I think she appreciated, because that meant that she could get back to me when she was available and not, like, having to interrupt something. Because I know she spent a lot of time hiking.
What about how you communicate with your friends and family? You said you've got some little nephews.
Well,
have you been able to see them?
That's a very interesting question. I had a nephew that was born on March 10th.
Ah.
And then we shut everything down on March 13th.
Oh, my goodness.
Even
had he gone home yet before, when everything was shut down? Was he still in the hospital, or did he
He was in the hospital for quite a while. They'd already shut down the hospitals long before that. Like, none of us could go see him in the hospital. And then he was early, and his lungs hadn't fully developed yet, so they put him in the NICU. And we couldn't go see him then, and that was just hugely scary. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, what if we lose him? You know, and I kept getting told, well, it's okay, because, you know, this happens very often. He's in the best NICU in central Indiana. He's got great care. He's going to be fine. And then they did have, the NICU had a camera set up so we could see him. Oh. And the only times when we didn't get to see him were when he had to have a diaper change or be fed. But
what hospital was that?
Huh?
What hospital was that?
Community North, I believe. So being able to see him on camera was really nice, but it was months before I got to see him in person, and then even longer than that before I got to hold him. I think he was almost 3 months old before I held him for the first time, which it's it's rough, you know? I mean, I understood everything, and it was one of those things that it's like, if it means that he's going to be healthier, I will totally sacrifice for that. But it was still rough, because I see this tiny little human that I love so much, and I just want to hold him and snuggle him, and I couldn't.
How old is he now?
So he's 4 months old now.
Oh,
he's doing great. Yeah, he's a very happy little guy. He's smiley and he laughs a lot and he's a very big eater.
What have been the biggest challenges that you faced?
Well, the biggest challenges that I really faced was the fact that I couldn't actually see them. My sister lives with my aunt. She and both of her boys live with my aunt, and they all live next door to my parents. So they were always together. I live in Plainfield, they do not, so I really didn't get to see them that often. And when this first started, Mike, my partner, and I, we were both terrified of getting anywhere near people for fear of any exposure.
Yeah.
Probably sometime in either end of April or beginning of May, my sister organized what she called a social distancing visit in her driveway. And I wasn't sure what I was going into, but it's like, I really do want to see my family. And what she had done is she had staked out quadrants on her driveway for people to sit, and you weren't allowed to cross into each other's quadrants.
How'd
so,
it go?
Huh?
How'd it go?
Really well, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I wore a mask, but I don't think anyone else did. But again, they all basically lived in the same house, so...
You're pretty militant about wearing a mask, though, aren't you?
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
And that's because of your own underlying health issues, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As I'd mentioned earlier, I'm really suffering from allergies so bad that I actually was tested for COVID-19 myself just to make sure that that wasn't what it was, because I had tons and tons of sinus drainage that was causing me to have horrible coughing fits. I would be wheezing when I would breathe. I couldn't sleep, like I couldn't lie down. I had to sleep sitting up, and I would only get like maybe 3 hours of sleep a night because of it. And so I'm like, okay, this is wrong. So they set me up with a COVID-19 test, and they did both a throat swab and a nasal swab. And I was very, very nervous about how it was going to be, and the throat swab made me gag. And I apologized to the guy doing it, and he's like, oh, honey, I've seen a lot worse. And then they did the nasal swab, and I'm like gripping the steering wheel as they're doing it. It stung.
I know, it hurt.
Yes. I figured it would be like sharp jabbing pain, but it was actually a sting, which was even worse. Yes, I know. And he's even like, I'm going to have to do this for about 10 seconds. Like, he warned me it wasn't going to be short. The test came back negative, and I'm like, okay, but I still feel miserable. So I had to go to the doctor, and they've got me working on an allergy regimen, but my lungs already are kind of damaged from the allergies of, you know, I now have allergy-induced asthma. And so I do have to be extra careful, because even though it might not be like an autoimmune disorder or disease, I do have damaged lungs right now. And so
that could be pretty bad.
Yeah, no one can afford to get sick from it, but I'm in the category of those who really need to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the big question, what everybody wants to know. What did you, your family and friends do while you were locked down?
Okay, so I have a group of friends. There are 9 of us, and we would try to do a Zoom meeting once a week just to check in on everybody. One of the women in my group of friends is a nurse, so we were actually really concerned about her. Mm-hmm. We found out just recently that one of my friends also was pregnant throughout this entire pandemic.
Oh.
But baby seems very healthy. There don't seem to be any issues, so that's good. But we tried to stay as, you know, in contact as possible, and, you know, seeing persons face to face, it's different, but still seeing a face and being able to talk, and just, you know, there were no topics that were off limits, and we could just unleash how we were feeling, even if it devolved into all of us crying. It's like, we need this emotional release, we need this support. So we did that. I live with I keep referring to my partner, Mike. I we We live together. We have separate bedrooms, which was a huge lifesaver during this because we were both working from home and you couldn't really leave your house unless you were going to go out for some exercise. And I think just to get out of the apartment, Mike decided to run the mini marathon this year. Yes. So, you know, there were times when Mike would go for a long run and I would have the place to myself. But for the most part, we were just in there together, and having our own separate spaces really, really helped us. Mike got involved in a virtual racing game. I played The Sims nonstop. Oh my gosh, I love that game. I love that game, and it allowed me to be in a world where there was no pandemic.
Right.
So we did a lot of that. I tried to keep up with the exercising. The gym that I went to closed. There were no classes, so I didn't have that. And I need fitness classes, really, to just kind of keep me going, keep me motivated, because I'm just like, oh, I'll do it later. But if I have an actual class to go to, it's much easier for me. So I tried to stay on top of the working out. Didn't really work out so well.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. Plus, also, then, it just as my doctor pointed out, she was like, you were trying to exercise on lungs that were not operating on full capacity. So I use that as the excuse. I also watched a lot of TV shows over and over again. I rewatched three favorite shows, The Golden Girls, Parks and Rec, and Community, and I just kept rewatching them over and over, and I found out that people with anxiety tend to do that during times of high stress because it's comforting.
Right,
you know what's going to happen. So I really fell deep into that. Like, I think I rewatched Community probably 7 or 8 times.
The whole series?
The whole series. It was, yeah, way down the anxiety hole at that point.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's been a lot of controversy about the Community is going to address this pandemic. How do you think Plainfield's done in general?
In general, I feel like the Community itself has responded pretty well. We've had quite a few people that they told us that they missed the library being open, and then once we opened for curbside service, they would thank us so much for even just doing that. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people who wanted to come into the building, and they were very sad that they couldn't. Sometimes people would get very angry, and we would then at that point be like, okay, we understand you want to go into the building, and you can't right now. However, we are more than happy to go in and get whatever you want and bring it out to you. And for the most part, that would placate a lot of people. And in fact, I actually, there was one woman who wanted to come in and browse, and you know, we told her what the situation was, and she was really disappointed. And I said, you know, but I will make any book recommendations you want, and I can go in and get that stuff for you. She ended up liking what I had suggested so much that she would come back and ask for me to help her, and so I kind of made a new friend with that. We had some people that were just belligerent and calling for our director to be fired because he wouldn't allow people into the building. It was up there it's on my list of the most ridiculous things that have happened. I personally, though, really appreciated the Community stepping up with our little free pantries. A lot of people, this town has a lot of restaurants and service-based jobs, and a lot of people lost their jobs or were furloughed, and it was difficult for them to feed themselves and their families. And so those who had just a little extra really stepped up their game and made sure that there was food for people. And I had to refill the pantries quite often because there was definitely a need. But then there were other times when I would come in and I'd be like, oh gosh, I know that pantry was really low. I need to go back. And I'd come back and it was just stocked, fully stocked.
Wow.
So because other people in the Community had stepped up and been like, oh, this is empty. Here, let me shove all this food in here for people. So,
wow.
And we're still getting a lot of food. Like, you see me come by all the time and I'm like, okay, I got more donations. I got a store.
You know, we do have that issue, the issue of do you wear a mask or do you not wear a mask?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's just a crazy issue. How do you think Plainfield's doing in that sense?
I think for the most part the Community has responded well. We've had a few instances with some people being jerks, I'll be honest. They were being jerks about it. There is unfortunately a vast conspiracy theory going on right now about how the virus is a hoax and you don't need to wear a mask and it's government control. I clearly don't agree with that. If I can be frank, I think it's a very dangerous and stupid conspiracy theory.
Absolutely.
The people that are being so angry about it, I don't understand them, and I find them to be very irresponsible and very selfish.
Yes. And it's, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
It's, and they're not, they don't feel like they're being selfish.
No, they feel like they're standing up for their freedom.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are a country that was raised on the American individual and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And so it is in our culture to naturally be defiant. And I think it's to our detriment this time.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that has gotten COVID?
I do.
Know anybody who knows anybody?
Yeah, I know several people who know people who got COVID. And I personally know a few people who have, but it's fortunately been very small. And they have been able to come back from it. But I do know people who know people who have died from it. One person that I do know, she got it, and then like a month later, her husband got it. It took that long for it to, yeah. I'm not sure exactly what happened.
I wonder if he got it from her or from somewhere else.
I don't know. And the interesting thing is their symptoms were different, but it was still COVID. And she still is feeling the effects. Like, she has very little energy, and she says she's really dealing with headaches a lot.
What about him?
He's still fighting it, but is doing well. His is a lot of the cough and the breathing issues. So they had to be on two different treatments because of it, because they had to treat the symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and they say, oh, it's the flu, and it's clearly not.
No.
The more and more you hear, it's just simply not just the
Mm-hmm.
It's really damaging.
Mm-hmm. And it damages the lungs.
Yeah.
That's the scariest part.
Long-term damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also been a lot of talk about mental health, you know, since everyone's been locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And physical health, I suppose, since they're not getting as much exercise. Do you know any stories of people that have been affected mentally or physically, you know, any?
Well, Mike and I both.
Yeah.
We both have had I was very anxious, and like I was telling you before about rewatching everything over and over again. Mike's issue was they felt like they'd gotten into a rut and were trying to break out of it, and that rut was just making them kind of depressed, very anxious, feeling like they weren't contributing anything, that they weren't doing a good job. So the two of us really both were fighting some demons,
right,
in that,
yeah,
sense.
Were you able to get comfort from each other? Were you able to,
yes,
help each other?
Absolutely, yeah. And fortunately, they hit at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us was kind of struggling, and the other one could be like, here, I've got you. I'm gonna take you in, and I'm going to pull you along, and I'm going to lift you up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
good.
We were very lucky as far as that goes.
Okay. What has been your primary source of news?
For international and national news, mostly CNN. And then for local news, it's been WRTV6. Those are the two that I go to for sources. I don't actually go to Channel 6 that often, to be perfectly honest, because their information doesn't seem to change as much. It's been rather stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they update us as much as they can, but because they're only focusing on this area, there aren't going to be as many updates. So I'm mostly on CNN, and I have also just really, I've been following Dr. Fauci. Just whatever he's saying, I'm paying very close attention to.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you changed any news sources? Have you added any news sources? Or?
Well, I don't call it a news source, but it is something that I have done. I've gotten very much away from Facebook.
Hmm.
It's not a news source.
No.
But you kept seeing all this news popping up, and I'm like, no, okay. So I guess I've kind of eliminated a non-news source.
If only everybody would do that.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think that there are issues that the media is not covering that need to be covered?
That's kind of a tough question, because I feel like the media is covering a lot.
Yeah, what don't they cover?
But I really wish that they would focus a little bit more on those who have beaten COVID and where they are today, like what have been their long-term effects. Because on occasion, if there's someone who's very prominent who has had it and beaten it, you'll see what's going on with them. but we don't really hear a lot of other stories. And I know there's so much going on right now. This year is insane, but I would like to see more of that. I want to hear more from the survivors, how they're doing. And that way people, maybe they'll understand that, hey, you know what? You might actually get this, and it's not just the flu, and you're going to be fine in 7 to 10 days. This could affect you long term. So I feel like that if they would focus more on the survivors and their resounding health issues, then maybe people would be more willing to wear the mask.
Do you have any thoughts about how the local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis?
I feel like it's been too slow. I feel like the response has been way too slow. There should have been a mask mandate a long time ago. As soon as we discovered that wearing a mask is the best way to prevent it, we should have been like, everyone needs to wear a mask. And we could have maybe gotten this under control at that point. I'm not going to really say anything about the closing of borders and whatnot, because I know there were travel bans that were eventually put in place, and a lot of people say, oh, it took too long. And I'm thinking, that's something you can't really guarantee, because even if you put a travel ban in one place, you have people from that area going somewhere else and then possibly coming here, or someone visited that area and then they went back to their home and then they ended up visiting the U.S. I feel like travel bans, it's so difficult to criticize. Right. It's so difficult to predict.
Borders are so porous, you know?
Exactly. We are such a connected world now. It's that's something that I really don't feel like is a proper criticism. So my biggest thing is just the wearing of the mask. I also am very angry over the fact that our pandemic supplies were depleted and never replenished. And I wish that the administration previous to one that we have, I do wish that they had been able to replenish, but at the same time, there was money worked into that administration's budget, and Congress kind of was like, nope, we don't need that. And then this current administration comes in, doesn't even bother with it. So that administration had been in power for 3 years at that point. They'd had plenty of time to replenish all those supplies, and they didn't. That makes me angry. I also feel like the organization to fight the virus has not been organized at all. I can tell you what I personally would have done, but I don't know how difficult that actually is. But all these people who had to lose their jobs because their organization shut down, or their company had to close and furlough them, I feel like there could have been a lot of opportunities there to create jobs, to make all of the protective equipment, all of the ventilators. They would have been factory jobs, kind of like Rosie the Riveter, and just making hospital equipment or making masks and things like that. I think that was a huge missed opportunity to give people pay, give them jobs while their other job either had disappeared or they were laid off at the time and not getting paid. It would have been a great way to keep people from having to be on unemployment until their job was available again.
Right.
But I don't know what kind of channels politically anyone would have to go through, but I do think it was a missed opportunity because we are so low on everything,
right,
and the normal citizens had to step up and make masks for the public. The library purchased hundreds of dollars worth of masks for the staff that a woman in Ohio made because she thought that there weren't enough to go around and they needed to be available to people.
I guess we've seen a lot of good things happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people showing their best sides.
Mm-hmm.
So, final question. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
That this can happen again. That is the big thing. This can happen again.
Right.
It may be 100 years from now, but, I mean, we had the 1918 epidemic. 102 years later, we're dealing with another one. This can very easily happen again. And we cannot ignore the signs. We can't not have disaster relief supplies We
have a plan.
We do. Planning is so important.
It's got to be what? It's got to actually got to be used.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you wanted to make note of before we end? Future researcher in 100 years might want to know.
I do think that some things that I really hope do happen is that we remember that washing our hands is incredibly important. I can remember growing up hearing about people in Japan, whenever they would use a payphone, they would spray it down with an antibacterial spray first before using it. And at the time, I was like, why would you do that? And then I was like, oh my gosh, payphones are dirty. Of course you would do that. If this is for someone listening to it 100 years from now, you probably don't know what a payphone is, so I'm very sorry if I've confused you. But just the fact that we for so long didn't really think about germs and keeping ourselves clean, mm-hmm. you know, as long as we couldn't see dirt, it was fine. It's like, no, actually, you need to be very careful, right. And the spreading germs is so easy, and we need to do better. And I sincerely hope that from this we also learn that we are all in this together, even if you don't think you are.
Right.
We really are.
We are really one organism.
Yes.
And this really does make it hit home.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so, great. Thank you, Lauren. That was an amazing story, and I'm so glad that you participated.
Oh, I'm glad you did this.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.